Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. Help them to hear the message that you have. Make the distinction plain and clear. I pray, Father, that as you talk to us, Father, that you will help us to adjust our priorities according to your will and your purpose for each of our lives, that we might be the people that you've called us to be in a world of darkness, that we might be those that are faithful, and through our faith we are pleasing you and bringing you glory. And I ask that you honor this in Jesus' name. Amen. We set goals for our lives. I think everybody does at one point or another. In high school, their students are getting excited about graduating from high school, like, oh wow, I'm going to be an adult now. I'm going to be 18. I got a life ahead of me. But then they might feel kind of in a daunting situation where they think, what am I going to do? What is my purpose? High school students are thinking about their careers and what career they have. When they get to college, they may have a goal to maybe become a doctor. But they realize that the work involved in becoming a doctor is too strenuous. It's too taxing. It's too difficult. And they change their majors. And so we know that people oftentimes will set goals in college and change their majors many different times. Others know. Young couples will enter into their careers, set goals to maybe buy a house and get a car and get the financial stability that they need, whatever the case is, before they start a family. Those that are going to retire might be looking at how they're going to live financially and what they need to do to set up to take care of things financially when they're retired. So goals and purposes in our lives usually, I want to say usually, will set the course we take in life. Because not all goals that we set are God's will. And the key is that you and I are intuitive enough, faithful enough, in love with Jesus enough to say, I don't want my goal, I don't want my will, I want your goal and your purpose and your will in my life, so I want to focus on you and your lordship and your leadership on my life because you created me for a specific purpose. Before the foundations of the world, you established the good works that you want me to do. That's all of us as believers in Christ. He's already established that. To live life not really identifying with what God wants us to do is a wasted life. Because if we're not accomplishing what God wants us to do, then what we're doing is just really fruitless in the eyes of God. I mean, that's a hard reality. So we have to establish and think to ourselves, how are we following God? I even asked myself, now, if I wasn't a pastor, if I wasn't called into full-time ministry, what would I be doing? Would I be putting God first? Would I be following him? Well, I certainly hope so, but I got to thinking about dear friends in my life that aren't in ministry that are very faithful in following God and his will for their life, whatever it might be. And that's what we need to be doing, setting ourselves and focusing our lives on the purpose that God has for us. Because the journey of our life, your life and my life, is predetermined. Our days are predetermined. The amount of time that God has given us is predetermined. Kathy's uncle lived to be 102. I think her aunt was 107. My side of the family, you know, 39 years old died. You know, just young, whatever. So our lifespans are all predetermined by God. But what we do as believers within that lifespan, we need to understand that we're on a mission, we're on a course, we're on a purposeful goal that God has set before us. If we are willing to focus on that, we will run the course no matter how challenging, no matter how much it requires our endurance. If we love the Lord, we will follow it through to the end. And that's called fighting the good fight. It's called being in the race and running to the end goal and accomplishing what God has led us to do in him. My wife and kids will tell you without doubt that I have had more jobs than anybody, that they've lost count of the number of jobs I've had. You did that too, Dad? Oh, you drove that car too, Dad? What, you know, just on and on and on, that type of a thing. But you know, it wasn't because I was an irresponsible high school student or college student or young adult that I had so many jobs. Some jobs were four times at the same time. You know, I was working 80 hours a week, whatever, or more. It wasn't because I was irresponsible and didn't have direction, because my goal at the time and my own personal testimony was, I'm going to work as many jobs as it takes for me to pay the bills, but my overall picture was God has called me into ministry personally. God has called me to do his work as he's called you to do your work. But for me, my testimony was I'm letting God develop me and prepare me and to be ready to be in full-time ministry. And in the meantime, I'll just do whatever I got to do to make the bills work. So again, it wasn't because of immaturity or being irresponsible. It was because my focus was set on, I'm going to be in God's will, God's place, doing his will, letting him shape me for what he's called me to do. And in the meantime, God has provided these jobs to enable me to pay my bills. But see, there was a perspective there. The perspective is, I'm on mission. I'm under God's calling. Every one of us is under God's calling. Every one of us can discover the calling that God has on our lives, on your life and on my life, and here continue to unravel that, not unravel in a bad way, in a revealing way. Here begin to show us exactly what his purposes are in and through our lives. I want us to look at Philippians 3:13 and 14. It says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Praise God, we have the grace to do that in Jesus. And reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There's an action there that's taken. There's an observation that is received by Paul. Paul saying, I do not count myself to have apprehended. In other words, I'm not totally reached what God has for me to do. But one thing I do, I'm forgetting who I was in the past. Paul was a murderer. Men, women, and children. I'm forgetting that. I'm forgetting all my accomplishments in life because my ego and my arrogance was developed through that confidence. But now I'm before the Lord, forgiven of the Lord, and humbled before the Lord to be his servant and to follow him. But he made a decision, I am going to reach forward to those things which are ahead. You see, again, that's a lifespan focus for us as Christians. There are Christians that have said, oh, I've done the church thing, I've done Sunday school teaching, I've done this type of ministry, I've done this, now it's time for me to sit back, pass the baton over, and let them do their thing. I'm going to kick back. God's called us to serve until he calls us home. Even if the only thing we can do is pray. God has called us to serve him until he calls us home. In verse 14, again, he says, I press toward the goal. That was the decision. That's a focus. Are you focusing on the goals that God has set before you in following him? Is your heart first at a place that says, God, I love you, but I don't want those to be empty words. I want my life to show you that I love you by my actions, by my decisions. I want to hear you and know your will for me. I want to walk circumspectly. I want to walk carefully. I want to walk intuitively in clue to your word every day. Some days there might be goals that are just average goals for the day. I'm going to walk in fellowship with Jesus. I'm going to be in his word today. I'm going to pray today. Whatever, those are simple goals. But there may be other days that are strictly overwhelming and overbearing and too big for us to handle, and yet we trust God to walk us through. That is another goal. I press toward the goal for the prize. God values our faithfulness and our endurance in following him. But again, there's a mindset. We can get so drawn into the way of the world and all the accomplishments that we want in life, or what sets us apart from God, as opposed to what sets us for God. Being sanctified for Christ is simply meaning that we are set apart for God's kingdom work, and we are. But we choose to embrace what God has set us apart for and him. And so we have to reach forward to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It is a high calling to represent Jesus. It is high calling to be in God's will and to accomplish through Christ what he has for us to do in him as he leads us. In each of our lives, as unique as they are, we are not to throw the towel in, but we are to endure. Why? Because Christ endured for us. Christ died on the cross for us. Christ, the joy that was set before him enabled him to endure the pain of the cross. And we're not just talking about physical pain. We're not just talking about humiliation, naked on the cross before people, or the ridicule that was thrown at his way. It was him taking your sin and my sin upon himself and feeling that culpable guilt of sin of all mankind placed on him by the Father, and then the Father turning his back on him and him having to bear the weight of God's wrath because of your sin and mine. And what enabled him to get through that was you and me. It was you and me. We were the joy that was set before him. He knew who would receive him before the foundations of the world. He knew us by name as he formed us in our mother's womb. And because he knew who would receive him and follow him, he took great joy in that. And that is what enabled him to go through the cross in the resurrection. And today, those are the gems that are in his crown, is you and I. We are his crown of joy. And so we praise God for that, but we have to be willing to say, Jesus did all that for me, that I'm willing to look at the fact that I am not to embed myself in this world to such a degree that I ignore God's lordship in my life because he's planned my life for a purpose. And that purpose was to bring him glory. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Pressing toward the goal of the upward call of God should be the primary goal of every follower in Christ. Now, I'm going to say something that's very hard to hear, but in reality, I want you to, it's a truth that I want you to really take in and consider. When I said pressing toward the goal of the upward call of God should be the primary goal of every follower in Christ, that's the prerequisite for us to be on mission and focusing on him and being sensitive to his leadership and reaching the goals he has for us. But here's what I want to say in addition to that. In fact, without that life perspective, that primary goal, it is impossible to be a Christ follower. Just because you receive Christ doesn't mean you're following him. Just because you're a believer in Jesus Christ doesn't mean that you're a devoted follower of Jesus. We know that there's hypocrisy that the world looks at. We know that people will claim their faith in Christ and they'll see the actions of our lives, they'll see hypocrisy, and they'll shake their heads and shame us and discredit God. You see, it's up to the individual, every individual believer, brother and sister in Christ, to make a decision whether or not they're going to say, my life is not mine, it belongs to Jesus. I'm going to live for Jesus, and therefore, in doing so, I'm going to do my best to be as close to him as I can. I'm going to do my best to listen to his leadership, and I'm going to do my best to walk by faith to embrace what he puts in front of me, because invariably, God will put things in front of us that are greater than who we are. But God has always given us what we need to do what he calls us to do, and it's his power that works in and through us for his glory. Without the life perspective of keeping Christ our primary goal and his will our primary goal, it is impossible to be a follower of Christ. But the reality is we can be believers in Christ, we can go to church, we can learn biblical truth, and we can serve without following Jesus. Because you can just go through the ropes and look like you're a solid Christian, but if we're not following Jesus with a heart that says, you are my love, you are my joy, you are my desire, you are my strength. You are the one that I live for above all else. And yet there's a grand life perspective even above this. John 17, 15 through 16. Jesus said, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Satan's always trying to distract us. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. What is the greater grand perspective here? I am not of this world. Your perspective and my perspective as believers in Christ is to embrace that truth. We are not of this world. We are in Christ. He is in us. Our citizenship is in heaven. Not here. The more we walk with him, the more we realize we don't fit here. We are not of this world. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. This is not our home. This is not our home. Isn't it an amazing spiritual truth when Christians who as you follow the Lord, or maybe even as you're facing your final days in life, you're acknowledging someplace where you're saying, in my heart, not just my head, I have that affirmation, I don't belong here. My home is in heaven. So if we have that perspective, that grand perspective, then we can start saying my priorities are not based upon the priorities that the world sets before me. My priority is to be the person God's called me to be in Him and to follow what He leads me to do as He uniquely has created us and uniquely has proposed His purposes for your life and my life. That we are not part of this world, we're in the world on a mission, on an assignment of God, and our goal is to fulfill what God has called us to do. That gives great purpose, because when people don't have that purpose, they say, life was short, I worked hard, it's over, wow, big deal. You and I can say, no matter how long our life is, short or long, I've lived for Jesus Christ, I've given Him my all, I've been that living sacrifice He's called me to be, I am yielding my life to Him with all the ups and downs of my sinful nature, I am consistent in giving myself to God, and I can rest knowing that I've accomplished what God has called me to do. Paul said, I fought a good fight, I've run a good race. He was confident that he fulfilled what the Father had preordained for him to do. You and I have that same opportunity to know that we can fulfill the Father's plans in their entirety because we committed the right perspective. This is not our home. Our life is not our own. Our purposes are not for our own design. Our purpose is to know the design that God has proposed for us and to follow Him. In Philippians 3:17, it says this, brethren, join in following my example. This is Paul. How many of us can tell other brothers and sisters in Christ, follow my example? We're all sinners. Paul was a sinner, saved by grace through faith. He had the wrestling match of a sinful nature, just like you and I. So it's not an improbable thing because we have a sinful wrestling match in our life. It's the probable thing that God has called us to be holy as He is holy, not to be self-righteous and above other people, but to be His people reflecting Him, which is reflecting His holy character. That's what He's called us to be. And so we can come to a place like Paul and say, look, follow my example. Not out of cocky arrogance, but out of humble assurance. I've been following Jesus the best I know, and my example is a good one. We can identify those that are known to be and proven out to be faithful followers of Jesus. God can put in our lives Christian men and women that are mature Christian men and women that we can look up to and say, I can follow that example. Doesn't mean we have to pray to flag saying that, hey, follow me, because we want them to follow Jesus, obviously. And so, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk. That means identify those who walk in the right way as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross. There are those that walk that are lost, that don't know Jesus as their Savior, that they are on the broad and swift highway that the world takes that only leads to destruction. The highway goes to a cliff that drops down to hell, point blank. But Jesus said, I'm the narrow way. Jesus said, hey, take this route. It's like being on 198 or what is it, 33 going out of town toward before you turn off to go to Hanford. When you go over the hills after the buffaloes and you're going up and going down the hills, see these side roads out to the oil fields. You know, most people are just going down the road and flying by, watching for cops. Others are you know, maybe looking for that road to cut into because that's the road that they're supposed to be on. That's what you and I are supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be looking for that road of not only of salvation through Christ as we receive him as our Savior, we're saved, but in following the path. It's not the same path as the world. It's a different path. By faith, well, let me go back. I got ahead of myself there. Verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, their self-serving, and whose glory is in their shame. They take pride in their shameful ways, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, perspective, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I know that if you don't come in my lifetime, I'm going to where you have me to go. And if you come in my lifetime, I'm still going where you have me to go in heaven, for my citizenship is in heaven. Putting our faith in the promises of God rather than worldly fulfillment is key to accomplishing God's goal or goals for us as his children. We have the promise of what he's given us, eternal life, a hope that's eternal, a future that is beyond our comprehension this side of heaven. Dr. David Jeremiah said, for the unbeliever, seeing is believing. See, it's not just Missouri, it's everywhere. Okay, you get the joke? But seeing is believing for the unbeliever. For the believer, believing is seeing. See, if we believe God, then we can see our directive. We can see and hold on to the hope, which is not intangible in a sense, because God has already secured it. And we can follow him. And Hebrews 11, 8 through 10, there are a couple of examples I want us to look at, because Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. He took action. Abraham, there was no church on the corner. There was no synagogue. There was no written word. It was before the written word. It was before churches and synagogues. It was before all that. It was simply following the prompting of the Holy Spirit, as you and I are called to do. Listen to the Holy Spirit's directive. Follow him. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out. Come out from that land. Come out from that world. Come out from that environment of pagan society that you live in. Come out from there and go where I tell you to go. He didn't say, that's your destination, go there. He said, just come out and go. That takes faith. Lord, can't you at least tell me where I'm going? No. He doesn't tell us where we're ending up, or what he plans he has for us. You know why? Because we might run. We need to be faithful to what he leads us to. He's under no obligation to explain himself to us. That's the heart. That's the heart that says, God, you mean more to me than my country. You mean more to me than anything or anyone else. I want to follow you. I want to follow you. He went out not knowing where he was going. In verse 9, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, just like we live in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. He waited, and I love this, he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The New Jerusalem, the promise of that dwelling place. John 14, I prepare a mansion for you. That's not just a metaphorical picture, that's a reality. Give you a picture of a reality. God told Moses, these are the dimensions of the articles of furnishings for my temple. Make them because they represent what's up here. The temple of God is real. It's not just angels and air up there. There's tangible reality in there, just as tangible as you and I are here. Abraham dwelt in tents looking forward to the city that was built by God. That had an effect on his life. That said, look, you know, you can lead me out of my homeland and away from all I'm familiar with and the wickedness definitely that's there to a direction that I don't know, but I'm going to follow you because I know that you have a promise for me that's eternal. That's what God's called us to do too. In Hebrews 11, 24 and 26, it says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. In, but not a part of the world, right? Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, he looked to the reward. Nothing in this life that we can acquire or attain even begins to compare to the glory that God has in store for those who love him. Scripture says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Scripture says, evidence of love is not by lip service, it's by action that reveals it. That's what God is looking for. And as we give ourselves to God and surrender ourselves to him and focus ourselves in life the way that God would have us to, that reinforces that our goals should be set based upon the promises of God and the direction of God and not the things of this world, because we're not part of this world. The closer we get to Jesus, the more we realize we don't fit. And we can praise God for that. Moses rejected Egypt for the riches of the coming Messiah, or Christ. Both Abraham and Moses set their life goals on God's future for them that laid ahead. That was a common denominator in their life. That was a prime directive in their life. That was a line in which they evaluated their life by saying, there are greater things in store for me than this world, and the greatest joy in my life is God. What perspective should we as followers of Christ have in this life? One, that our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. We have a dwelling place that is far greater than we can imagine. I've often thought, we're going to close in this message in just a second here, but, and that's my second, not your second, by the way. But but when I think about heaven, you know, when it talks about the 12 layers of the New Jerusalem, each layer was precious gems in a layer in of itself. And you can read about that in the book of Revelation. A door, each of the 12 gates entering into the New Jerusalem was one single pearl that was carved, a gate was carved through. The magnificence of the glory that God has in store, just in those tangible things in of itself, doesn't even compare to the glory that God has in store for you and I as believers in Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. Remember, we are part of God's magnificent kingdom. That'll help our perspective. We're part of God's magnificent kingdom. We have a temporary and purposeful goal on earth. We have a high calling on our lives. We are to accurately represent Jesus in this world. We are to be salt and light in this world. We are to fight the good fight of faith for Christ. As believers in Christ, our primary focus in life during our maybe short or long or temporal time here on earth should be to fulfill the goal, the mission, the assignment given to each of us from heaven, where our home and citizenship is forever. Right? Do you see, my heart's desire this morning is that you and I will either be reminded or maybe for the first time embrace the reality of who we are in Christ, and our purpose in life is not tied to this world, but to his purpose. That we have a short span of life, and we have a mission, a goal, an assignment. And here's the thought. How we live out the assignment that God preordained for us before the foundations of the world will be judged by God. That's humbling. Let me say it again. How we live and fulfill the assignment that God gives each of us in life will be judged by God in heaven. We're not judged for our sins. Our sins are paid for. God sees us absolutely clean through the precious blood of Christ that's applied to us. But our life is judged for how we live for Christ. In other words, how did we take this span of life that God has given us? How did we pursue God? How did we seek after him and his purposes? How do we walk by faith and fulfill the challenges that he lays before us? Can we end life knowing that we have fought a good fight, that we have done what God has called us to do, that we can go to heaven knowing that our conscience is clear before God, that we've been faithful and obedient to him? We all wrestle with sin. We all fall in sin. 1 John 1:9, praise God, confess your sins, right? And God will forgive us, paraphrasing that. Keep ourselves right and in check with God. Follow him, fulfill his purpose for your life. I want to look at this. See, I told you it's my second, not yours. I'm going to read this passage of scripture. 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 15. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Look, there is no other security or purpose in life that is as secure or even that is eternal other than that of Jesus Christ. There's nothing else worth building our life on that can even come close to building our life on Jesus. Does that make sense? There's no other foundation. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. See, we're going to be judged by our faithfulness to God, our willingness to follow the assignment, to fulfill the assignment, to reach the goal, to be on mission, to have that focus. We're on mission here, assigned by God from heaven on earth for a short time to do our mission that God's called and designed for us specifically in the life that he's given us. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. That's God's judgment. That's what the fire is symbolic of, God's judgment. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. God will see our heart. God will see the motives. God will see the intent. And he will know whether it's good and whether it was in line with him. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. So everything that goes in the furnace, which is all the things we've done in life, the things that are burned up or the things that were worthless, but everything that comes out the other end of the furnace that endured the judgment of God was good, was rich, was honorable, brought glory to God, was fulfilling his purpose. And we will be rewarded for each and every one. And those rewards will bring glory to God. That's what God has called for us. But in verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. Not a loss of salvation, loss of reward, loss of opportunity to bring God glory. You see, when our life is evaluated, like this is your life, the old TV show, but this one's going to be under his judgment, we see the wonder of Jesus. We see the glory of God. We see the wonders of heaven and the angelic host and all the saints of Old Testament, New Testament, millennial reign, tribulation period, all the saints of all the ages, and we're all together with God in heaven. How overwhelming will that be? But when our life comes to be judged before all, and there's not much coming out the other end, a lot going in, but not much coming out that brings glory to God, we're going to wish that we did have the right perspective. Right? We need the right perspective to be God's people, to be God's salt and light in the world, and to fulfill his assignment for us. If any man's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, so as through fire. It's not a judgment of salvation. It's just saying, your life might be spent doing all this stuff, and when God judges your life, nothing comes out the other side except your salvation. Or very minimal things come out the other side. But we're going to be in the glory of God, and we're going to say, man, I want my life to reflect my love for Jesus, that you're being glorified at this moment in heaven as my life is judged by him. That's perspective. We are to live that perspective. Will your life's work withstand the judgment of God? Are you pursuing God's goals or earthly goals? Will your life fulfill God's goal for you? None of us are perfect. We get off track. Get back on track if you're not on track. Receive Christ today if you haven't received him. Know that God has designed you for a purpose and a plan that will bring him glory and that will enrich our lives this side of heaven and for all eternity. Our citizenship is not here, but in heaven. The closer we get to Jesus, the more we realize that we don't belong here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, let us find joy in the assignment. Let us rejoice in the plans that you have for us. Let us embrace the challenges that you lay before us individually in our own lives that are bigger than we are. The things that may be intimidating that you've called us to do, may we simply rejoice that we have opportunity to rely on you to accomplish your work through us for your glory. Help us to remember that this life that we have, as I said, Father, is just a span of time. It's nothing compared to eternity. But it is an assignment. It is a mission. It is a purpose. It is what you have proposed and planned for the good works for each of us to do in that course of our life. And may we each take that and focus on that and yield to you and find the fullness of life. For your word has said plainly that you have come to give life abundantly. And let us live that abundant life in you. Father, if there's someone here today that's never asked Jesus in their heart and they'd like to receive Jesus into their heart, if you're here today and you're wondering about your salvation, if you think you are but you're not sure you are, the probability is that you're not. And I say that because the Holy Spirit, when we receive Christ, confirms in our heart that he is in us, that we are in him, that we are children of God. And if you don't have that assurance, then I ask you to come forward and say, I want to receive Jesus in my life. If you're here today and you have not been keeping the perspective or embracing the perspective or have never realized the perspective that God has for you and the life that he has graciously given you, and you want to commit yourself to living that life and you need prayer for that, then meet me and I'll pray with you. But Father, help us as your children, as brothers and sisters in Christ, even with our sinful nature, to be faithful, obedient, and pleasing to you because of your strength and your power that lives in and through us. We ask this in the name of Jesus, and God's people said, amen.